and welcome back to DASCO Up for Discussion. I'm your host, Sarah Sewell, and I'm glad you're joining us today. We've got a really exciting episode lined up because we're talking about one of the most impactful programs we offer here at the Down Syndrome Association, our Enrichment Center, also known as our Tutoring Lab. This space has become a place where individuals with Down syndrome can learn, grow, and feel supported in ways that are tailored just for them. And before I get started and introduce our special guests, I have to say September is going to be really busy at the Down Syndrome Association. So not only will the Enrichment Center be in full swing, but we'll be gearing up for the Down Syndrome Festival and 5K. And that is happening on Saturday, September 27th at the Myriad Botanical Gardens in downtown Oklahoma City. So whether you want to run, walk, or just come and celebrate, it's an amazing day to honor our loved ones with Down syndrome. There will be music, inflatables, food trucks, and cotton candy, and so much more all in one place, as well as some resource booths for you to get more information. So while you're listening today, go ahead and take a mental note and register for your team or your loved one at dsfestivaland5k.com. And that's dsfestivaland5k.com. And we will see you there. Now on to today's conversation. Joining me is someone many of you already know and love. It's our wonderful Betty Shadone, who leads our free tutoring program here in the Enrichment Center. Welcome, Betty.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Betty, why don't you start off and just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've been a special ed educator for about 30 years. Maybe 30 some odd years. I mainly was in special ed pre-K, and I was spent the majority of my teaching career at Monroe Elementary in Oklahoma City.
Ooh, Oklahoma City Public Schools.
Yes, I loved it.
And you were there the entire time.
I was at Monroe my whole time except for the first couple of years that I taught.
Wow, that's incredible.
And I got involved in DASCO when one of my substitute teachers, who goes to church with some of the members here, and I guess Riley was looking for a tutor, and my substitute teacher recommended me because I had just retired. And so that was about 3 years ago, so I loved it.
Betty just celebrated her third year anniversary with
us.
So how so exciting, and we are so lucky to have you. So Betty, what really inspired you to become a special ed teacher?
I have loved working with individuals with special needs ever since I was in junior high. In junior high, I helped teach a Sunday school class for individuals with special needs. In high school, I got out of PE so I could help a class with their,
What a way to get out of PE.
Oh, I know. Yep, for me. Yes, PE wasn't my best subject, so I helped a class with special needs that was attached onto our high school and loved every minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
In college, I taught at a summer camp.
Oh, wow.
And in Texas, Camp Sir Optimus. And we had all sorts of special needs. We had different programs for different ages, and we had from five-year-olds up through adults in different weeks, and loved it. Loved it. Didn't make any money, but I sure loved it.
Yeah.
And then I started teaching after I had a family and wanted more time off with the kids and the same hours as the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Or sort of the same hours.
Right.
But I've loved teaching.
Well, what's kind of been your teaching philosophy?
Throughout my career, I have focused on the child, their selves. It is not their disability. I mean, yes, we had to fill out paperwork for the feds and the state with their disability on it, but I looked at the child. I said, we checked boxes because we had to, but I took the child where they were, and made a plan for that child and only that child. Because every child is different.
How many kids do you think you've taught over those 30-some years?
A whole bunch. For the first 12 years, we had like two classes and 10 in each class every year. And then we moved to just having a full, when preschool went full time, then we just, all the special ed classes went full time. And so I just had 10 a year.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of kids.
10 is a lot for a
10 class. Is a lot with special needs in preschool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, you started doing tutoring here about 3 years ago, and I know, you know, we do it for that from 3 years and up. Kind of just walk us through what a typical session looks like for some of our kids.
First, and adults. I kind of get a gauge on how they're feeling. Do they come in excited? Do they come in a little tired, especially if they're coming from school?
Yeah.
They might be a little tired. So I kind of tailor activities. Do they need to be up and moving around? Mm-hmm. So we might do a more moving activity that involves more movement, or are they happy? You know, what are they sad? You know, just finding out what they need, you know, and getting them into the routine that they're used to. You know, they may have a specific game they like to play first that kind of gets them off into learning. Then we might start with that one.
Do you notice some of them kind of like to come in and have a routine with you already?
So I have definitely have some that have a particular routine.
Oh, that's funny.
And I have one that we've been reading a book, and I've copied off the pages so I could make them bigger and the print bigger and everything.
Yeah.
And she has to make sure the pages, when we turn the page, they have to be stacked very carefully.
Uh-huh.
And they all have their individuality that comes out in tutoring.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But that just makes it more fun.
Yeah.
You know, getting to know them and what they like, what they don't like, and they definitely have their opinions on those.
So kind of talk us through, like, some of the curriculum that you're using and the things that happen in the tutoring lab.
We do a variety of curriculum, and it just depends on where the student is, what the parent wants, what the student wants, and what they're interested in. Like, some parents really want us to focus on reading, so I pull from a lot of different curriculums on reading, but we do.
Is there one in particular that seems to click better?
I like the Reading Simplified program that really works on helping kids learn how to manipulate the sounds. You know, we learn all the sounds, and then we might be working on, we'll start with the basic words with a few letters. And we might do, okay, this word is, sound it out, map, map. Okay, how can you make it to nap? What letter do you need to change? And we talk about it and look at it and practice it. And it doesn't take too long, and they're starting to think about the sounds and able to blend them better.
Okay.
Yesterday we were working on that, and usually I've been having them read the words, but the couple of kids came in yesterday, and I said, okay, we're going to do something different. We're going to write the words.
Oh.
And they were like, eyes are really big and everything. But once they realized, and I use visual phonics.
Yes.
And so one was a little hesitant on not being confident that he knew the sound.
Right.
He really did know the sounds, but he just didn't have the confidence. So I would use the visual phonics when I was saying the sounds, and they were picking it up. And after we wrote about 15 words. No, we wrote 24 words because had to count them.
Oh,
they wanted to count them.
There's math in there, too.
There's math in there. They counted them. So then I wrote all the words on the board, and so that we shot them with a dart gun, and then they were reading them again. Not only they wrote them, but then they were reading them.
Mm-hmm. About how many times do you think it takes to click? Or is there a magical number?
There's no magical number. Each kid is different.
Yeah.
You know, some kids may need many, many, many repetitions. And it also depends on how many sessions they come.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some that if they come, you know, once a month, we don't make as a lot of progress.
Right.
But I have some that are really consistent about coming at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making a lot of progress.
That's
you know,
so
we're
awesome.
Seeing progress. I'm seeing mainly in confidence that they are realizing they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to set them up to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to give them only, not that it's easy, but just a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they can master that, then we go a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
But just in small chunks. So they are successful, they see they can do it, and they want to do it.
Mm-hmm. They do. I know in your, you know, 30-plus years, I'm sure you've got some great stories of successes. Are there any that you would like to share? Or maybe there's been some here recently.
Oh, my gosh. I have one adult that comes in, and we've been working on money.
Mm.
And that was something that he and his mom had talked about, and he said, you know, he wanted to be counting money. He wanted to be able to count money. So I was like, well, we could come up with some games to make it kind of fun. But so every time before he comes in, I put about, 40 envelopes, 42 envelopes with money in it, different denominations from like $15 all the way up to $70.
Mm.
And for the first while, a long while, we've been working on it a while, but for the first while, he needed a cheat sheet, like 10 plus 5 is 15, 10 and 10 are 20,
mm-hmm.
20 and 10 are 30, and we just made the whole thing. And it's just recently that we've skipped the cheat sheet, we don't even use it, that he's able to count it without it. I mean, we were counting like 320s with 60.
Oh,
and
wow.
he has made so much progress, but I would say mostly the confidence that he knows he can do it, that he feels empowered.
Mm-hmm.
He can count money, and I have at the end of the day, we both count up what each of us have earned.
No, yeah.
And then I add it up by hand. He checks it on the calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And we see if they both equal the same or who goofed.
Oh.
And he doesn't goof on the calculator.
Oh.
So it's
nice.
It's really been fun watching him grow.
Uh-huh.
And just have the confidence that, hey, I can do it. And now he's getting tip money and his job, so it's even more important that he know how to count. You know, he sees a reason why he needs to be counting money.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, counting money is kind of fun, but,
yeah,
you know, now there's a real reason I need to know how much I have.
Yeah, it's prying the practical part to it.
So it really helps if they understand the reason,
mm-hmm.
the need. Why are we reading?
Mm-hmm.
What's it for? You know, we look for whatever we can to make it meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they need to understand, not just because reading's good for you, you need to read to do this.
Mm-hmm. You've talked a little bit about, you know, how you've had to build relationships with our individuals. Can you kind of share how you get inside and motivate them to give them that confidence?
First is getting to know them.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a few times. You know, for the first times they're here, I try to find out what they like, what their interests are. Like, do they like video games? Do they like Pokemon? Do they like Mario Brothers? Are they Spider-Man?
Right.
Just whatever they like, and then try to tailor those likes with games that we can play that they can learn with.
Mm-hmm.
And like I have one that went on a trip to, they went two and a half weeks, and they went to see the Grand Canyon. They went to Joshua Tree. And so we found a book on, or I hunted on Kindle and found a book about Joshua Tree.
Nice.
And so we read that together and talked about, well, did she, it was about animals at Joshua Tree. And I said, well, did you see these animals? And just something that they can relate to.
Oh, yeah. That's really
and,
important.
Or something that they like. Spider-Man is a really big hit. So mm-hmm. I've looked for, there's an Uno game that's made with Spider-Man cards. So mm-hmm. anything that piques their interest, makes them want to learn and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to make tutoring fun. Yeah. At the end of our sessions, if we've been reading words, then we get to shoot the words with darts.
Yeah, I think that's so fun. And I know they love it.
They love it. They really love it.
So what about you've talked a little about reading. How do you implement the math part? Or
we do a lot with math. We see where they are. Math concepts can be really difficult. We do a lot of counting, like we were counting the words that we had mm-hmm. gone through. We check on to see, do they have one-to-one correspondence? Do they understand sequential, one, mm-hmm. two, three. I've got some games that we can play that you're playing by sequence. If mm-hmm. I put down a one, they have to put down a two. If they don't have a two, they draw a number. And,
okay.
And play those kind of games. I have one where a lot of dice games where we roll the dice and they have to count. Like if it lands on a three, then we build a tower with three blocks.
Okay.
And
so kind of always applying some kind of visual with the learning.
Manipulatives and visuals,
mm-hmm.
anything to make it more concrete and more real for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to, when you just say three, it helps if they see a three, mm-hmm. see three objects.
Yes.
And it takes a lot of practice. I recommend a lot to my parents, especially when I was doing preschool, that make it count out snacks. Do you want five goldfish or do you want three goldfish?
Mm.
Here's what three looks like. Here's five. Which one looks better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which one's more? Just using a lot of the concepts that they're going to hear over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But making it fun.
Yeah, and then I know we have Touch Math, if you want to talk a little bit about
TouchMath is a great program. Yes,
yeah.
Because it's another concrete way. All the numbers each have, like, number one has one circle on it. Number two has two circles. So when you're counting, it's a visual, tactile way mm-hmm. to count. And since I've been teaching it, I still use it when I'm adding up my numbers of the kid
yeah.
that's doing
yeah.
money.
Yeah.
I am using Touch Math to make sure my yeah. addition is right.
Yeah.
So, but it just gives it away. It's tactile, it's visual,
mm-hmm.
and it helps them as they move on in math. Like when you're adding something, once you've learned kind of how to add with Touch Math,
mm-hmm.
then they drop on your first number, they'll drop the circles.
Mm.
So then you learn how to start with that number. So you don't have to count up to nine. And then add five more. You can learn to start with the nine and then go 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
So just to make it easier for them, make it more real.
Yeah.
Because math is a tough concept.
It's hard.
It's very hard. If you don't, it's because it gets so abstract.
Yes.
And this just makes it a little more concrete and understandable for the kids. But it takes a lot of practice.
And I know you see, you know, kids ranging as young as three and then through adulthood, but for those out there that, you know, are wanting to sign their adult up or
mm-hmm.
their older teenager
mm-hmm.
up for tutoring, what kinds of things would you recommend that you'd probably would like to see them work on or would you do?
I would say reading is really important. But we also work on time.
Uh-huh.
If they're, as a young adult, they need to be able to read the time and learn some time management. So we learn we work on analog clocks and digital clocks because some places still have both.
Yeah, they do.
And it's good to know. We do a lot of matching. Said this is 3 o'clock on an analog. This is 3 o'clock on a digital, mm-hmm. but they're the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to see what they need in their environment
mm-hmm.
and what I can do to help make it easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if they need reading, great. If they need money management, if they need help with math skills, you know, just whatever they need. If they need help reading recipes, you know,
yes.
we talk about that.
Yes.
We talk about, we had some that really liked reading grocery ads.
Oh, yes.
And
I know one of those.
Yes, and that's so
I brought them.
We brought grocery ads in, and mm-hmm. we talked about money, and we talked about you have to have, you know, just, and we would add up what she wanted to buy, and then said, oops, we've got to make sure we have
yeah.
extra money for taxes.
Oh,
what are taxes?
Ew.
Yeah. And, or if they'd like to go out and eat, mm-hmm. we make, we'll look at a menu and say, oh, Chick-fil-A was always a favorite.
Uh-huh.
So
I'm
I would,
sure.
we would look at a Chick-fil-A menu and say, okay, you've got $10. What can you buy?
Mm, not
and
much.
Not much, yes. Yeah.
Not
it's,
much at Chick-fil-A.
Nope. But they learn that there are choices to make. Okay,
yes.
okay, if I want large fries and a large drink, I'm not going to get much other food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just learning choices and...
I like that, the choices part, because I think that's really important with the adults, you know, in letting them make the choices, because they're wanting to
And live
to
with
be
their choices.
Yes,
yeah.
and live with them, that's for sure.
You know, this and was it, your idea, this is what you wanted to buy, so you wanted your large drink and your french fries. Well, you now have a dollar left.
Sorry, can't get the ice
yeah.
cream.
Nope.
yeah, and I'm sure you probably take a different approach with the younger kids, and... You know, probably just getting them to understand, sometimes just sitting still in the classroom.
That is, yes.
So why don't you share a little bit about the different, you know, talking about how the learning environments differ for the younger ones.
Well, for my youngest ones, we've sometimes gone into our sensory room
uh-huh.
and done some activities there where they get some more movement, because mostly in a preschool classroom, you're not going to be sitting down listening all the time. You need
right.
to be up and around, and that's how they learn. So I with one of my little girls that I've had, we were working on her name, and we hid the letters in the ball pit.
Oh,
and
genius.
then we had to find the letters, and she matched them to her name on the on the floor. She'd have to lean out, reach, and match, look at her letter, and match it to the ones that I had taped to the floor. And then we did, we started with just matching her name and picture with mm-hmm. just her name.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did her name, her little brother's name, and her mama's name.
Oh.
And so people she could relate with.
Yes.
So once she kind of got the idea that she knew these people, she could recognize their names, then we moved on to other names and other words and mm-hmm. other letters and just... Making it fun, making it something that they can relate to. Lots of kids relate to their name
yeah.
and like seeing their name in print.
Yeah.
So,
I know Kirsten corrects people when they say her name wrong. So.
Oh, yeah. It's
Their name means
Their
a
name
lot
is
to
very,
them.
Important very important to them. Yes. So, starting with the letters in their name, and we first started with her, just the... G for her name, P for her brother, M for mama,
mm-hmm.
and
Connect.
That was the letter we started with, and she would match those to the pictures and the letters, and then we moved on,
mm-hmm.
and after about 3-4 weeks that she's been coming, she's tracing her name,
oh.
and... recognizes her name and her brother's name and mama's name without pictures now.
Nice.
And recognizing the letters.
Mm-hmm.
One time we put the letters on the sensory tiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got to jump on each tile and watch the colors
nice.
Swirl around. And then we jumped on her name, and
mm-hmm.
then we were at the table. So then we made her name with... Magnet tiles.
Mm-hmm.
And then we traced it on the board, and then we wrote it on the table, mm-hmm. and we also talked about, this is a special table, we right. can write on it,
yes,
but
yes.
you have to ask Mommy if you want to write on a table at home.
Yeah. Right, right.
But
not Betty's special table.
No, this is a very special table.
Yeah.
But we try to do, take the kids where they are.
Yeah.
You know, if they have trouble sitting, we've got some extra kind of seating. I have a ball chair
yeah.
that they can kind of bounce and wiggle on mm-hmm. and get some movement. I always, when I was teaching, I had a ball chair.
Yeah, I kind of like the ball chair.
I like the ball chair. I like the movement in it.
Uh-huh.
And if I like it, typically I'm going to have some that are going to like it too. Mm-hmm. So we give them choices. Do you want a small chair? Do you want a tall chair?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the ball chair?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the beanbag? You know,
yeah.
just any...
Making
way to make them comfortable.
Yes,
yeah, this is their choice. This is, you know, it's hard when you come from school and then come to tutoring mm-hmm. and you've worked hard all day. We want to make it fun.
Yeah.
You know, so we try the skills they need, but we try to make it fun. We use games. I use Uno games. I have a Jenga.
Oh, yes.
But it's colored blocks. And so I took... sticky paper that are post-it notes.
Uh-huh.
And I laminated them all, and then I can, whatever we're working on, I can change the words to what they're working on.
Mm.
Like if they're working on consonant, vowel, consonant, then I'll write all those words on it. And then if you pick a yellow one, if you roll the yellow dice, then you've got to pull the yellow block out and read your word.
No, there's a lot going on in that.
Yeah.
A bit of learning.
We try to incorporate a whole lot of skills in
yes.
just learning, whether it's counting. Uno is a really game that they all love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've got number recognition, but I've got them where I've made Uno cards with just sight words. I've got Uno cards with consonant, vowel, consonant words. And then on up, mm-hmm. I just bought a template, and
mm-hmm.
then I can change them, to whatever we need to be working on. So I have a whole variety of those kind of games. But for some, the kids are learning how to, they're reading the word, and then, they don't have that color. So they've got to look at the number on the card and see if they have one of those numbers. So there's a lot of processing going on
yes.
in the games, and I love that.
I think that's great, and I think it's a great way for them to learn, and I know it really benefits Kirsten that way. If you had to say, you know, what are some of the challenges that you think our loved ones with Down syndrome face, and you know, for parents out there that, you know, are interested in tutoring, you know, why is this a good fit?
I would say I think a lot of people underestimate.
Yes, children with Down syndrome.
Yes, they underestimate them. They are so capable. It may take longer for them to get the concept, but it is there. They are so capable.
Yes.
And I have really enjoyed seeing the results of y'all's advocacy.
Mm.
I mean, seeing... we have several that go to Bishop McGinnis,
mm-hmm.
and just seeing how that school has embraced my students with Down syndrome,
mm-hmm.
and they've gotten involved in the sports. They may be helping baseball bat boys, or
mm-hmm.
they may be a quote manager of the
mm-hmm.
team, and one of them I know that. His friends from school came over this summer, and they took him out to the main event.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
That, to me, the more we have kids with special needs included in regular
mm-hmm.
classes, in a regular environment, there are going to be more people that realize mm-hmm. they're not that different.
Right, and yeah, I know you've told me this, you know, how inclusion you feel is so important.
Oh.
And you have witnessed it. It's not just the research and the data. Can you share a little bit about how you've seen it in action work?
One year, we had some friends and I had gone to a conference, and they talked about how this inclusion program, and theirs was mainly for autism, but when we came back from the trip, we went to the school board and said, we want this program. It was in a preschool class, and instead of me having my own class and the regular preschool teacher having her own class, we combined two classes. I had only 5 students, and she had 15 students. Mm-hmm. So we had 20 altogether, but it was 2 teachers, and we had 2 assistants. And yeah, it's, you know, was not economical, but we also had a trainer that came down and kind of gave us ideas. But those students that were in that program did so much better.
Oh, I bet.
As well as the children that came to regular preschool but hadn't had a family that was able to give them the basic knowledge that a lot of kids get, your colors, your shapes, before they get to preschool. So I was able to pull those in with my kids and work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed everything.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
It was very hard to go back when the district said no, they wouldn't pay anymore for that kind mm-hmm. of program. But everybody that was involved in it saw how good it was. But I was lucky to have a really good team. Our preschool team was excellent. Our special ed team was excellent. And I was able to, as soon as I knew a kid would be successful in preschool for 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
we were able to move them into preschool for 30 minutes. Or it may be during playtime
mm-hmm.
and not sitting down listening time.
Mm-hmm.
But we did a lot of that, and I think our program that helped get our kids where they didn't have to have regular special classes
yeah.
all the time. They were able to move up, and the seeing the kids that we did that with,
mm-hmm.
one of them's going to Klassen
yeah.
in the IB program.
That's what you mentioned earlier.
And he's starting 6th grade, and
awesome.
When I had him, he was nonverbal.
Oh, wow.
And at 3.
Oh, wow.
And that, it just giving kids a chance, looking at them as individuals.
Yes.
Not as a diagnosis.
Mm,
you
I
know.
Say that all the time.
Oh, yeah. We only worry, and I told the parents, I said, we only worry about your diagnosis to fill out the paperwork.
Yeah.
And then we just put it aside, and we look at your child, and we look at what can they do.
Right.
And we start there.
I love that. I love that.
And that I would...
I'd much rather you do that than...
Yeah.
I think
and
they
that
learn
was
better. And they...
When we would go to an IEP meeting, we would talk about, these are things your child can do.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't start with the negative. I mean, it's very hard to hear the negative.
Sure.
Because they're your special child.
Yes.
And they're yours. And
yeah.
it just so,
yeah.
you know, they parents need to hear, your child can do this. And I try to give parents here an idea. Look what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You look know,
the
yes,
progress.
They may not be doing everything you want them to, but look, they are matching words right now.
Yeah.
They can tell the difference. Looking at 2 words, they know if they're the same or different.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be able to tell you, but they can move one aside.
Mm-hmm.
Learning, having parents know their kids have positive skills is so important for me.
Yeah, I would agree. And Betty, I know you are going to expand your time with us in September.
Yeah.
So you want to share a little bit about what your hours are now and what they're expanding to?
Okay, right now I'm pretty much working Tuesday and Thursday
mm-hmm.
with occasional Saturday, and I've been coming in on Fridays for one little girl.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be doing Mondays, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and at least one Saturday a month now.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So those that I can
get
catch
signed
up with
up.
Those. Yes.
Yeah, get signed up. And if you don't know where to sign up, you can just go to our website at dsaco.org and click on the Enrichment Center, and the time slots are there. I know they fill up quickly.
They do.
Unfortunately, but maybe with some expansion time, you know, that will give everybody an opportunity.
I hope
to
come so.
Once
I would,
a week. Mm-hmm. That's what we like. We want
once
everybody
a week.
Once a week at
yes.
least. But I know your time is precious and as far as, you know, getting things scheduled. But we really do appreciate all that you do and the impact that you're making on our loved ones. And I can see the progress. But what's exciting is, you know, just seeing them come through the door, because they are so excited to come to tutoring with Miss Betty.
They hit
the door running. Yeah,
I love having the opportunity to tutor here. It's so much fun doing a one-on-one or even a small group of two. It just, you get to know the students, you get to know them.
And the parents. Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
And get more contact saying, hey, if you work on this with them or do this. I have one student that his mom really wanted him to read.
Mm.
So I worked with him for about 6 months, and they really weren't making much progress. And then I noticed that he was signing colors.
Oh.
So I was like, let's see. So I taught him just a few sight words. We started with the pre-primer sight words and did the signs to it. And now he's got a vocabulary of about 45 words
that's
that
awesome.
He can read.
That's so awesome.
And it just, you have to look at them individually and see where you can help them progress.
And communication is so important. So him just knowing those words and being able to sign them.
Yeah, mom's ready to learn too. She says,
that's great.
He's showing me words. And she said, I want to make sure I know the words. So I've done her a PowerPoint of the words that we've done.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we're just so excited that you're here. And we can't wait to, you know, kind of expand our tutoring session. So with that, you know, I'll just tell everybody again, you can go to our website at dsaco.org and click on our Enrichment Center and get those signups going. And if there is something special that you need, you know, just give us a call. We can work with Betty's schedule usually. And if some of you want to come together in a small session, I'm sure she'll love to do a group. She does that with a few of ours. But again, we just thank you, Betty, so much.
Oh,
we really appreciate you being here.
I really enjoy
this. Family.
This is the best job you can have after teaching.
Good. I'm excited. I think our kids are the best part of us anyway.
Absolutely.
But thank you again. And speaking of community, don't forget our big celebrations coming up. The Down Syndrome Festival in 5K is Saturday, September 27th at the Myriad Botanical Gardens. Come run, walk, or cheer for individuals with Down syndrome and help us reach our $250,000 goal of raising money so that we can support programs like Betty's Tutoring and our Enrichment Center. And again, you can sign up or donate at dsfestivalin5k.com, and you really don't want to miss this opportunity for music, food, and just a lot of energy that the day brings. So thanks for tuning in for DASCO Up for Discussion. And until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep celebrating our amazing community. Thank you.